You're listening to Hawk Talk with former Seahawks wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
Play fake, going to roll right, dumps it off into the right flat to Michael Bumpus, who bounces off of one tackler, gets inside the 40 down to the 35-yard line.
Powered by Seahawks.com.
Matt Pumpfakes looking to the goal line. He throws it into the end zone. Touchdown, Seahawks! It's Michael Bumpus with a diving catch in the end zone. A 10-yard touchdown reception for Bumpus, and the kid out of Washington State has found himself a place on this team.
Now, here's your host, NASA Chobe.
Welcome into another edition of Hawk Talk. The Seahawks fall to the Pittsburgh Steelers 30-23 at home at Lumen Field last Sunday. The Seahawks now do not control their own destiny when it comes to the playoffs, but the playoffs are still alive. They can get there by winning in Arizona and having the Packers lose to the Bears this weekend, similar to how 2022 season ended. But let's jump right into that Steelers matchup, and let's talk to a guy that knows a little bit about a lot of it up front, Big Ray Roberts in the trenches.
It's time to go inside the trenches with former Seahawk Ray Roberts.
Big Ray, man, it was disappointing, obviously, for the Seahawks coming into the game, controlling your own destiny, and then not having it pan out. When you looked at the film, when you sat there in the stands, you watched it all, what was the number one thing that stood out to you with the Seahawks' performance on Sunday?
Probably the number one thing to me is that, and, you know, I'm sure the Seahawks and their and the fans don't want to hear it, but there's one thing to talk about being a tough physical team, and it's another thing to actually be that team. And so, like, you know, I coached with Luke Kuechly when we were at Interlake, and not saying that we were like the world's greatest coaches, but he always had this saying, don't talk about it, be about it. And I feel like too much this season, the Seahawks have gotten caught up in trying to figure out who their identity is and who they're going to show up as. And then and the moments they need to show up as the people they think they are, the other team does it better than they do. And so when you look at the trenches, man, the Steelers offensive line just really dominated the trenches. And it was a combination of that and the way the dudes ran the ball. They ran the ball as if they knew that they were going to run through tackles. They knew they were going to break tackles. They knew that this team is not the best tackling team in the league. And they ran that way, and it showed that way on defense. And then, you know, on offense, it just seems like just couldn't really get anything going. Like, the running game showed a little bit. The passing game showed a little bit. We're in it for a little while. And then they would kind of extend the lead and control the ball with the running game. So just a real tough way to kind of come down the stretch here. And when you really, really need those wins.
Ray, we saw Evan Brown leave the game with a concussion. Abe also left the game. What did you see from that offensive line before they went out and then after they went out?
Well, I think they had a chance, Mike, to run the ball well. K-9 had a couple good runs, but then the score kept getting away from them, or penalties or negative plays would kind of get in the way. I think when when Evan went down and Olu came in, I thought Olu played well. He had the one tough snap on kind of like the trick play that they tried to do, backed up close to the end zone, which to me, it was his second drive in. Hasn't played in games in weeks, and you kind of throw a trick play snap kind of thing at him. I think that was a little unfair for him to be put in that situation. And I thought that Stone Forsythe came in and did an okay job. You know, they helped him out a lot. He was manned up a few times, but I think for him being a backup, he came in and did well. It's just that the offense just never seemed to really click. And to me, Mike, that's kind of how the whole team is. Like, the whole season, there's been spurts, so there's been moments in games or a particular part of a game where there's complementary football, where the defense is complementing the offense, where the pass rush is complementing the pass defense, where the linebacker field is complementing the gap control with the defensive line and running the ball, where the offensive line is creating space for the running backs to run and protecting Geno so he can push the ball down the field. There's been very few times when all of those things have complemented each other. Not that every team that wins does that on a consistent basis, but for this team to win, they have to play that way more times than not. They just haven't been able to do that.
When you talk about the running game and playing complementary football, Ken was 10 carries for 53 yards. He had a little banged up shoulder. Charbonnet did okay as well. Why do you think specifically when it comes to the run game that the Seahawks haven't been able to get over the hump? They've been close. You talked about it in spurts during that Steelers game where Ken has a great run or Charbonnet does something great. But why can't they get over the hump, you think, in the run game?
Well, I think the one thing that's hard is that, you know, you think about, you know, Kenneth Walker is definitely a weapon. Charbonnet is a good piece to have. But when you look at the receiving core, you have three really dynamic receivers, and then you have a fourth, and you know, Bobo has his own little uniqueness to what he does. And then you have three tight ends that can catch the ball and be a threat. So it becomes hard, I would imagine, as an offensive coordinator to go like, okay, we're going to like not necessarily turn our back on these on that part of our team, but we're going to focus on, you know, our one running back that is really good, and then maybe take some throws out of the hands of some of these receivers. So I think sometimes that's where they kind of slip up, because there's no reason why this offensive line, even with the shuffling that they've had, when they are on and they're able to run the ball and they're getting up to the second level, they run block very, very well. And they just haven't had a chance to really do it, because either the score gets out of hand, or like I said, the negative plays put you in second and third and long, and it's really hard to call running plays in that situation. But for this offense to work at its best, it has to have an efficient running game to go with the passing game. And they just haven't been connected as well, or word I used back in the day. They haven't been married very well this year on a consistent basis for the offense to be deadly that way.
Big Ray, what'd you think about Geno's performance? 290 yards through the air, 30 plus on the ground, 300 yards of total offense. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, you know, I think Geno is like a lot of people said, he is who he is, you know, and he's the type of guy where I think like that type of game is kind of what he brings to the table. Now, if you could have added like another 50 or 60 yards from the running back group rushing the ball, I think it would have made it, it would have opened it up for a couple more throws, you know, for a couple more deep balls for DK maybe, or Jackson Smith and Jigba, and those numbers would have been better. But I really do think in order for Geno to be a quarterback that can carry the team or be part of the team's success on offense, man, you have to have all three of those phases working. You got to have the run game going, you got to have the passing game going, and you have to have a quarterback that's playing efficient football. And so I think in this situation, I think you had two of the three. So the running game didn't quite make it, but the other two did. And so that usually means it's going to be a tight game for the Seahawks.
Ray, you know me, I try to speak things into existence. I'm Mr. Positive. It's part of my job, but here's what I want. But we're going into this weekend, Ray, against Arizona, the Seahawks can still get into the playoffs. How can they rally? How do they make this happen? What do you want to see against them versus a team who, quite frankly, just went down to Philadelphia and beat a good Eagles team? So what can the Seahawks, what do you want to see from the Seahawks this weekend so they can get in the playoffs?
I said this a few weeks ago, but man, I want to see a sense of urgency, like or desperation almost, and not desperation where you're out of control and you're doing things, but like, you know, guys rallying to the tackle. Like there's not just one dude or two dudes making the tackle, but it's four or five guys making the tackle. When we're running the ball and the running back is struggling for yards, I want to see the offensive line pushing like everyone else pushes, you know, like, because at this point, trying to establish an identity is just too late for that. It's too late to say, hey, we're going to establish our identity and be physical. It's too late to say, hey, we're going to establish our identity and be a run first team. Right now, the only identity you have is win. and at almost any cost. So you have to be willing to throw caution to the wind as a player and just go ball out to get the win, to give yourself a chance to get to the playoffs. And so that sense of urgency, that sense of desperation, that was a run where Bobby Wagner was being blocked and trying to make the tackle at the same time on Najee Harris down near the goal line. And the whole Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line was pushing. And some of the Seahawks players were kind of coming in trying to do, but there was a few of them that were kind of getting out of the way of the pile. It's like, no, nah, like hit the pile, peel someone off the pile. Like, I don't care if you get a penalty picking them off the pile, but don't let them win the physicality game. And it seems like they're kind of, you know, packing your season up, you know, for this year by being more physical and playing a little tougher than you. So that's what I want to see. It's not even like about how many yards you throw for, or how many times we rush the ball, or how many sacks we get, or how many turnovers we get. Man, play like your life depends on getting this win. And then I think that'll help this team put themselves in a position.
Love to see it, Ray. That's exactly what we want to see on Sunday. I'm fired up. I can't wait to get there to hopefully, you know, get in the playoffs and keep this thing going. And a nice little family road trip down to Dallas. Big Ray, we appreciate you. Thanks for hopping on.
Thanks, Ray.
Yeah, keep up with the manifestation there, NASA, and we'll get this win, and we'll be rolling down to Dallas.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Ray. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, all right. That's the big, great Ray Roberts giving us a little knowledge on this Tuesday. But let's get back into the game. What had happened?
See, what had happened at first was...
What had happened was...
On Hawk Talk.
Well, not the game we expected to see Bump coming in to this, with the Steelers coming into the game with Mason Rudolph as a backup quarterback and the season on the line for both teams. On the opening possession, the Steelers moved the ball a little bit, but the Seahawks held strong, forced a turnover on downs after 8 plays, 34 yards, when Reek Woolen broke up a pass intended for George Pickens for Mason Rudolph on 4th and 5. So that was a good start to see defensively, you know, especially after Pickens had such a big game the week before. Unfortunately, the Seahawks would go 3 and out on their first possession and didn't feel like they had the ball again for a really long time. That's because the Steelers would respond with a very impressive drive, 14 plays, 80 yards, ending with an 18-yard touchdown run from Jalen Warren, making the score 7-0, not the start you would hope for, Bump.
No, but then the Hawks will respond. They put together a nice little drive, 7 plays, 75 yards. You got Ken Walker scoring from 13 yards out. That made the score 7-7. Steelers will kick a field goal on their next possession, but the Hawks respond again with another solid drive to win 8 plays, 75 yards, 12-yard touchdown to Jason. You're feeling good about this team right now. The Hawks are up 14-0. Steelers, they come right back. They go 75 yards in with a Najee Harris touchdown. Both teams went in at halftime with the Steelers up 17-14. Then what happened next?
Well, I was hoping for it coming out of halftime that the Seahawks were right there. They're executing offensively. They scored on 3 of the 4 possessions they had. So I was hoping for, you know, a really big dominant performance. The Seahawks would move the ball in that opening possession, but they would have to settle for a field goal that tied the score up. But again, the Steelers march right down the field, going 6 plays, 71 yards, ending with a Najee Harris touchdown, making the score 24-17. After a couple punts, both teams would trade field goals, and the Seahawks would get the ball back down 27-20. This is kind of when you feel like it was winning time for the Seahawks. We've seen Geno Smith do it so many times this year. Unfortunately, Geno on the first play was hit from behind and fumbled the ball with the Steelers recovering on the 16-yard line Bump. And that kind of was all she wrote. The Seahawks tried to make it interesting late, were not able to recover the onside kick and lost the game there.
Yeah, man, Steelers outgained the Seahawks 468 yards to 369. They outrushed the Hawks 202 yards to 88. And they handled the time of possession 37 minutes to 22. Very disappointed, man. You felt like you just got pushed around out there. The Steelers came in with a game plan. They executed it. The Hawks just weren't able to connect an offensive and defensive possession together late in the game.
Yeah, it's Ray mentioned it. It's about kind of all phases of the game playing together, being married as one. And that's kind of been the Achilles heel for the Seahawks. When the Seahawks defense is playing well, the offense is struggling to move the ball and kind of vice versa. So hopefully the Seahawks can get that figured out this weekend in Arizona. But there were some guys that made some plays, playmakers.
Touchdown, Seahawks!
Playmakers.
We'll start with Geno Smith, and it was pretty encouraging, Bump. This is one of the best games I think he played all season. 23 of 33, 290 yards, one touchdown, 3 carries for 33 yards. And for me, Bump, he just moves so well in the pocket. There's one play there where the Seahawks converted on a third down where TJ Watt is in the backfield. He slices the side, steps up, and just the way he was moving in the pocket, handling the football, I thought he played lights out football. I thought this was one of his better games, just from not necessarily a statistical standpoint, but just pocket presence and feel and keeping the Seahawks in the game. So hopefully he can continue that next week.
Yeah, he looked good, man. Also had a nice 25-yard run, man, from one sideline to the other sideline. Put on the burners. Yeah, I think Geno Smith played well enough for this team to win. But like Big Ray said, you needed some help. DK had 5 receptions for 106 yards. Now has back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons and his 3rd overall. This was the 3rd time he went for over 100 yards in a game this season. You mentioned Geno moving in the pocket. There's a nice 34-yard gain. He found DK after avoiding TJ Watt. Yeah, man, DK has been quietly ending the season on a high note, man. And that's what you expect from your number one receiver. He's looking more comfortable catching the ball. He's mastered the slant. DK once again puts a good game together.
Yeah, no question about it. DK has been absolutely clutch. Whenever the Seahawks have needed to have a big play, a big catch, all season long he's done it. Whether it was the Commanders game, the Eagles game, even down in LA, the game they lost, DK has definitely been there in clutch moments. Staying on offense, Ken Walker, 10 carries, 53 yards, one touchdown. Also had three receptions for 22 yards. He was playing well, just didn't really get enough touches. That's kind of how the game played out, and we've kind of seen that unfortunately happen a couple times this year. But I'm hoping Ken Walker, who did, we'll get into this on our preview podcast, but Ken Walker's only gone over 100 yards in one game, and that was against the Arizona Cardinals in, I believe, week 7. So hopefully we see a little bit more of that from him on Sunday.
Yep, Devin Bush had himself a day. Used to play for the Steelers, got drafted 10th overall by these guys. He had 17 tackles, 5 solo, and 1 TFL, man. Now, he played well, might not have won against the Steelers, but his Michigan Wolverines are in the national championship, so I guess he's got something to smile about. But nice seeing Devin Bush fill in for Jordan Brooks and make a whole bunch of plays out there.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that would be like playing for a team that moved on from you. And he played inspired. He was out there sticking his neck in there, and 17 tackles is a pretty nice stat line. It's a career high for him, so good to see there. And then our guy Leo, man. He was very active on defense. 6 tackles, 3 solo, 1 sack, 1 TFL, 2 QB hits. He's been consistent. You know, pretty much every game he's played this year, he's been a difference maker. Whether it was loud on the stat sheet or not, he's definitely been one of the most consistent interior linemen for the Seahawks defensively. Now, Bump, why don't you walk me through the wide receiver roundup here?
All right, let's do it. DK Metcalf, like I mentioned, 5 receptions, 106 yards, no touchdowns, but was effective. Noah Fant had 5 for 59. Zach Charbonnet had 5 for 39. Kobe Parkinson, 2 for 38. Kenneth Walker, 3 for 22. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, only 2 targets, but one of them was for a touchdown. He had 12 yards overall. Tyler Lockett just couldn't find the groove, man. He had 5 targets, 1 reception for 10 yards. And then Jake Bobo had 1 reception for 4 yards. So no real overwhelming numbers once you get outside of DK Metcalf. I do like the way the ball was distributed, though.
Yeah, and I love to see Noah Fant and Kobe Parkinson out there. Noah continuing to make play after play. I would love to see him continue to be involved in this offense. It's hard when you have DK and Tyler and JSN, but when the tight ends are involved, this team is at its best, and that's for sure. Now, we alluded to it a little bit earlier. We're going to hop in the coach's corner and take a look at Geno Smith's touchdown as he finds Jaxon Smith-Njigba on third down.
Lockett starts in motion, right? Goes back. Geno has time. Looks. Fires. Back of the end zone. Touchdown! Seahawks! Reaching up, making the catch is Jaxon Smith-Njigba from 12 yards. And that was a laser thrown by Geno Smith right under the goalpost. JSN reaches up, snatches that ball between the two DBs, and the Seahawks have taken a 13-10 lead.
Yeah, so, man, I like this, man. It's a simple double post with, like, a whip route underneath. So you got Tyler Lockett, who starts as the number 3 receiver outside of DK. He motions inside. Then the ball is snapped once he gets to that number 3 spot. He runs the whip route. So he's going out to the sideline, reverse pivots. He's back underneath. But what they're doing here, they're playing a game with the safety over the top for the Steelers, right? You got JSN in the slot. He's going to run a post. You got DK Metcalf on the outside. He's going to run a post, a little double post action. Really making that safety have to choose who he wants to take away. He slides over to his right, takes away DK Metcalf. You got JSN working the middle of the field. And a great throw by Geno. You got Noah Fant. If that ball was a little later, Noah Fant's on the other side. Looks like he's running a post, too. Something tells me one of those two were supposed to be skinny. But nonetheless, Geno just reads the safeties. They expand a little bit. You got JSN working right up the middle of the field. He goes up, catches it with his body. A nice bang-bang type of play right there. This young man is getting better and better every single week.
I just love the throw from Geno from the end zone shot, where you can tell how difficult the throw this was, because you have the safety who's on Geno's right side, defensive left, who's kind of sitting there in no man's land. He's kind of squatting underneath and just trying to read Geno's eyes. And that is just a perfect throw from Geno Smith to get it just over the top of the fingertips to right to where only JSN can catch the football. Great play. And I do agree with you, Bump. I'm not sure that JSN and Noah Fant are supposed to be standing right next to each other in the back of the end zone. But, hey, it's all good when you score.
It all worked out. Counts for 6.
Sure does. But, unfortunately, what did not count was another check mark in the win column for the Seahawks. The clock just ran out.
A knee taken by Hundley. They're just going to let the clock wind down. Pete's not even going to bother taking that last time out.
Disappointing day all around for the Seahawks as they were unable to win the final home game of the 2023 season. Disappointing, obviously, from the playoff implications and all that. But this team has actually played pretty well at home this year leading into this. Only had two losses coming in, so that was tough there. And it just comes down to the Steelers out executing. They ran 71 plays to the Seahawks 49. They ran for 202 yards to the Seahawks 88. And the Seahawks are now 2-8 when they don't run for 100 yards. So really hard to win ball games that way, Bump.
Yeah, and you got to be able to tackle, man. That was an issue as well. And then the time of possession, 37 minutes or 22 minutes for the Seattle Seahawks. But on the positive, Geno played an efficient game, almost completed 70% of his passes. He looked good in the pocket, and he found DK Metcalf about five times for 100 yards. Man, like I mentioned, the third time he's gone over 100 this season. DK, 1,000-yard season, man, back-to-back years. You need to see DK finding himself in this offense. Let's see if he can do it one more time this weekend and help these Hawks get a W in the desert.
Definitely. We need it. The Seahawks need it. They can get it done. Me and Bump are going to break down the reasons why they're going to get that done in Arizona. Seahawks are back at it this week, getting ready for that game. We appreciate everybody listening. This has been Hawk Talk. Make sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts if you're listening that way. You can hear us anywhere, Seahawks.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SiriusXM. The Seahawks got to find a way to get a win this weekend and get a little help from the Bears to get in the playoffs. So I'm saying there's a chance, and believe it, speaking of resistance, it's going to happen, Bump. We will be planning a road trip to Dallas for the playoffs. But before we get through that, we'll give a little preview podcast before then. So till next time, he's Michael Bumpus. I'm Nasa Chobe. This has been Hawk Talk.